This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
Hello everyone and welcome to this, the latest edition of Saturday Draft Live, and it is the preview show for Season 21. Yes, we are now into our third decade of Saturday Draft Live shows. Who would have ever thought it? Joining me today as we go through all 14 teams that were selected on this past Thursday's live selection show, which you can catch on our YouTube channel, we have Jack Graham. Jack, how are you?
I'm very well, very well. It was a very good selection show during the week on Thursday. Round six left a lot of confusion and dramatics along the way, which I'm sure we'll cover. It's definitely a selection show for the ages.
Yes, it was. There was plenty of twists and turns and tribulations. I think it's fair to say there was a lot going on in that particular show. As we said, you can catch that on the YouTube channel right now to get the full play-by-play, essentially, of how the picks went down. Obviously, we're going to go through them all on this particular show in a bit more detail. Before we start, obviously, in case you missed anything that happened in Season 20, we had Gary Morris and Ross McLeod, our winners of the main league, just pipping Jack and Goat at the post over WrestleMania weekend. We also had our Listeners League winner, Colin Blackburn, led by Drew McIntyre. The only person to pick Drew McIntyre, which helped him into our main league. And our Listeners League Cup winner, Martin Best, who, along with his teammate Johnny Adam, made it all the way to the final in the tag team bracket, where they got to the final to play each other over WrestleMania weekend, and Martin just came out on top. So they are joining our field for the Listeners League this season. Of course, no David Hockney in the league this season. You know, he's going to be unbiased on Saturday Draft Live this season. So we'll see how long that lasts. Potentially, the first show he comes back, he'll probably break that, Jack, I think it's fair to say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He'll give some sort of outlandish comment that I'm sure will piss off one of the McLeod brothers.
He'll piss off somebody. He pisses off a lot of people for some of the things he says. I mean, I'll just wait for getting tagged in a message. But enough about Dave. Let's go through the teams. And I think we'll kick off, Jack. We'll start with our winners from last season, Gary and Ross, who picked second last, respectively. Ross, as the more experienced member of the team. Obviously, Gary Morris was a Listeners League competitor, but by winning is now a permanent competitor. So Ross took the brunt to go last. Gary with the Morris dancer, we have Captain Tony Storm, the Kabuki Warriors, Ricochet, Kevin Owens, Ava Rain, and Christian Cage. Ross with Adam Copeland Road. Adam Copeland, of course, is his captain. Samoa Joe, Chuck Williams, Lyra Valkyra, Blair Davenport. And the pick that threw everything into disarray, we might as well get this out the way right away. Ross originally picked Reigns and Heyman. A certain person, Mr. David Campbell, flagged that this was potentially a rule breach, which at the time we didn't think was, and there was a lot of back and forward on it. We asked Ross to pick to change his pick for the time while we looked into it. He changed it to Reigns and Jimmy Uso, but on reflection, there was no rule breach because the rule was apparently the rule breach that people were questioning was playing a wrestler and a manager. We discussed making the change. We didn't actually make the change. so we're allowing Ross to have Reigns and Heyman as his pair, which after SmackDown last night, he'll be very, very relieved about, as we don't know if where Jimmy Uso is going to lie. So, Ross, we apologise for the hassle that we caused you on that particular show. You have got your original pick, and I think that's, we're going to draw a line in the sand on it, Jack.
Yeah, it could be a matter of which of the two tag teams is going to get 0 points and which of the two tag teams will get 1 point this season. It's certainly an interesting one, but I get when you're kind of at that round six and you're needing to take a tag team out of the equation, why not? Why not take a punt? And I guess the beauty of this season is the transfer window. So Reigns doesn't appear by the time the week after Clash of the Castle happens. I think that's the transfer window is. Then sub him out and take a new tag team. So I guess that's the beauty of the risk. I do think between their two teams, there is one absolutely stronger team compared to the other. And I think that is Ross with Adam Cole and Samoa Joe, Trick Williams, Lyra Valkyria, Blair Davenport, and Reigns and Heyman. Gary's team, I know it's his first time drafting solo in the Competitors League, not Listeners League. He's got some good picks in there, like Kevin Owens and Tony Storm. Ava Rain could be good. Christian Cage, bit of a wild card at round six, but I just don't see it having the legs for such a long season like this.
Ross has a lot of people who are guaranteed to be in around championship storylines, at least currently. He's got obviously two champions in Copeland and Joe. Trick Williams could become the NXT champion. It's a big what if. Obviously, if he loses, he leaves NXT, so you don't really know where he's going with that one. Valkyria, she'll probably still be involved with Roxanne Perez, but again, she's an iffy one, but they are going to be in and about. Other than Blair Davenport, I don't think that's a particularly good pick for this particular season, because she's losing in the last few weeks, so I don't really know about that one. But Gary's team, he's got Tony Storm, obviously, there, the Kabuki Warriors, but there's a lot of question marks around the rest of it. I think Christian Cage is a season too late as a pick, because he's not been on TV since he lost the title, so we don't actually know what he's doing. So I think there was a lot more options, even though it's round six, I think there's a lot more options still on the board that would have been more fruitful. So I think that's kind of where the inexperience has let him down when he got to the kind of rounds five and six that tend to see with a lot of these ones who come up.
Right, it's just one of those ones that when you are coming in, I think this season at all seasons for your first time drafting solo is probably the toughest. Because there is no direction after Mania, especially now with the Logan Paul Avec era. It's a tough one. So there is some sympathy for the way he's drafted. But it's not a great team, and I'm pretty sure in a couple of weeks he'll be praying for the transfer window to come sooner rather than later.
Yes, of course, that's the key thing with this season, the transfer window, which comes into effect the week after Clash of the Castle in Glasgow. So we could be seeing a few changes on that one. Wouldn't surprise me if Ross changes his tag team, because we spoke about it after the selection show. It's not really a pick that you would be so defendant on the way Ross was when he would potentially had to lose it, because I think either that or Jimmy Reigns and Jimmy were terrible picks for the current season anyway, because we don't really know what's going on. I may be proven wrong before MD says anything and Reigns shows up next week, but hey-ho.
Yeah, I mean, I'm of the same opinion, but I guess it's the principle of it. I guess that's he's trying to fight the good fight, regardless of it being 0 or 1 point, you know what I mean? So,
yeah, definitely. But I think we might end up seeing, Gary might end up saying, you know, what if I put the captaincy on the Kabuki Warriors, where could I have been? Maybe a place higher. But it'll be interesting to see. I think he's kind of banking on the WWE, the U Speed Championship being defended on the main roster. But yeah, Ross has got a potentially good team there. It could go either way, but Gary might be a bottom half one for him this season. We'll throw now to the other man who caused a bit of disarray with the comments on Thursday night. We'll go to Team Goat, David Campbell, and his team. A man usually very confident when he goes into the draft. This was not the case this time. He's went for Sami Zayn, Dominic Mysterio, Captain Adam Pearce, DIY, Fia Hale, and Zelina Vega. He started off quite strong, Jack. I think it's fair to say Sami Zayn with the IC title could be a workhorse one. Dominic Mysterio's on TV all the time. But again, after that, there is a lot of what-ifs in there. And I think, for once, David's kind of went into a draft with no clear strategy.
I still like the look of the team. I definitely don't, as you said, I think as everyone has said, it's been so hard to plan and strategize for this season. And obviously, Sami Zayn, potential for the workhorse title, Dominic Mysterio, big part of Judgment Day on TV, Adam Pearce, we've got the draft coming up on two nights, and that's potentially 12, 14, 16 points a show with a double appearance, depending on how many rounds they do and what happens between matches and so forth. So that could easily get them well with the Camsey on, could get them around about that 30, 40 point mark in just two shows. It's pretty mental from one pick there. DIY, you need to get a tag team off the board. Fia Hale is an interesting pick. Obviously, a big part of the Chase U program on NXT right now. There is this, as we spoke about on the draft show as well, the NXT North America Women's Championship. She could very well be involved in that. So I like that pick. Zelina Vega is one that I think is in the last round. You need to take someone to fill the quota of the gender split. Part of LWO, I'm sure she'll get a few appearances, but you can definitely see maybe some picks maybe down the bottom half of David Campbell's team that when the transfer window comes along, he might be looking to shift out.
Yeah, I think DIY is one I'm not particularly, because the thing with DIY is obviously the Raw tag, but the tag team type split now adds a lot more opportunity for tag teams. But at the same time, the team holding the Raw title is currently with DIY's on the time of recording is the Awesome Truth. The DIY are in this kind of friendly thing with, so I can't really see them feuding for the tag team titles. Oh, and that may change with the draft. Obviously, DIY might go to SmackDown, and then this becomes a different issue. And DIY become a good pick. But I think that's the other thing as well. We've got the draft coming up so early on in the season as well. We don't really see where these ones could go. So this, the likes of DIY could be a great pick, or it could be, you know, a one that just flounders for a while, when they get patched. I can see the Fia Hale one. I think she is probably of the mid-card ones for that kind of mid-card title in NXT, one who could be, is more, a lot is on TV, one of the ones on TV the most. So I think that could be a potential one. I don't think it's his best team, but I don't think it's as bad as he's saying, if you get where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I think it's just because there's no confidence in drafting this season when the draft is so soon and coming up. They're completely shifting mentality, creative programming, and WWE now is a very hard one to predict. So I think folk had to try and go safe early on. Obviously, there's some folk maybe took risks early on as well, which I'm sure we'll come to, but I don't think the team's as bad as what maybe he thinks it is.
Yeah, interesting one. We'll see how it particularly goes. I don't think he's round one and two or ones that will kind of lead his team forward, but we talk about risks in the draft, and this man takes a risk every time he drafts because he doesn't leave it to his own devices. He leaves it to fate and the dice. We have Grant McRobbie, who is... It's done favourably, done not bad with the strategy so far, but he's done it. Let's see if it can compel him to a win this season. He's ended up with a team of Will Ospreay, Dakota Kai, Captains AOP, Ilya Dragunov, Ruby Soho, and John Moxley. I actually think, Jack, he's done really well with this particular team this season. Probably aside from Ruby Soho, I think he could be quite pleased with what he's got.
Yeah, I think he'll be happy with this team. Also, Ruby Soho is involved in this romantic angle with and on a Rampage right now, so that might get him a point a week or something like that. So I don't know how the dice will play out when it comes to the transfer window. That'll be interesting to see. But like, I know his dice determined his captaincy as well, which is round three, which has landed on AOP. The saving grace on that is it looks like they're going after the NXT tag titles. And if the rumours are true that Fraser and Axiom are going to be getting called up sooner rather than later because of how impressive they are to everyone, that could be a quick one title win there. Ilya Dragunov, the NXT champion, could lose, but will be getting called up to the main roster as he declares eligible for the draft. Will Ospreay, just new to AEW, he's getting involved with Daniel Bryan, Dakota Kai, part of Damage Control. John Moxley just won the heavyweight title over NJPW last night. Could defend that on AEW. Might not get the title points, but it could be consistent matches there for Grant and Robin. I think that's what a lot of his team is here. There's a lot of consistency in programming.
Moxley, the thing about Moxley is when he wrestles, he barely ever loses. That's the thing about it. He's got such a consistent record on TV, and I think now that he's got the New Japan title, I think they'll have him. He always had a wee break recently. He's had a much needed break. Every time he keeps trying to get a holiday, something happens and he keeps having to jump in. So that's why he's not really on TV as much. But now that he's got that belt from Japan, I think Tony Khan will flash him everywhere on the TV. I think we'll see him all over the shop.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Dakota Kai is the one, he loves picking Dakota Kai. He absolutely loves having her, but she'll get the appearances with, as long as Damage Control's a thing on SmackDown, he'll get the appearances with her, which is good. The best thing with Ospreay is he's a big pick who'll give a match to all the time. He'll wrestle maybe once or twice a week, or once every 2 weeks at least. So I think as a first round one, that could be particularly strong. It's got the potential to be a consistent team in terms of they'll all kind of score quite similarly. It's just more if there's going to be one that's going to push more ahead. I'd probably say it's going to either be Ospreay or Dragunov. I mean, if Dragunov keeps the NXT title, that's a bonus. But at the same time, if he goes to the main roster, you can see him getting a big push as well.
Aye, absolutely. It's either going to be a slow burner, I think, Grant's team on getting points, or the points are going to come in thick and fast. And I think either way, in this particular season, I think Grant's going to be pretty happy with his team that is dice and less of drafted.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I can see it being a challenger this particular season. Will it win? Could hinge on a couple of things, but I think he'll be riding pretty high on the table this particular season. We'll now go on to his East Meets West teammate and Scott McLeod with Swerve When I Draft. No surprise by the name there. He's got Swerve Strickland as his captain. The NXT Women's Champion, Roxanne Perez. The NXT Tag Champions, as Jack mentioned, Axiom and Nathan Fraser. Willow Nightingale, Nick Aldis, and Baron Corbin. Scott's a guy who always seems to... He doesn't miss too much when it comes to the draft. And I think he's got a pretty solid team at this particular point of the season. I think he's another one who could be pretty happy and he could do quite well this year.
I think Scott's got one of the strongest teams in the draft this season. Especially, I'm going to note his first round pick and potentially his last round pick. Swerve Strickland, I think... I would bank on him winning the World Championship. I think Swerve's too hot, one of the hottest things, probably the only hottest thing in AEW right now to be interest and watch for me anyway. And I think the sooner he gets the belt, I think it's better for the company. So I think that's not there's anything wrong with Samoa Joe with the belt, but it's just I'm only interested in Swerve. And I think round six, Baron Corbin, I think this could potentially be an unreal pick, especially if he comes up to the main roster with Bron Breakker as well to continue the Wolf Dogs. I know Bron Breakker's doing a lot of like squash matches in SmackDown right now, but even if he doesn't come up straight away, even like a couple of weeks after that or something, if they're wanting to do something of that ilk of the Wolf Dogs again, Baron Corbin's such a great wild card pick for round six.
Yes, Baron Corbin, the pick that was so good, some people missed it, apparently, from what we heard. That was a funny one, that one. Why has nobody picked Baron Corbin? He was picked. I think he's a great pick. I think it's absolutely. I think he's been so rejuvenated for this pairing with Bron Breakker, and if it continues, that'd be great. But if it doesn't continue, I hope he gets a good run because he's really deserved it with the work he's kind of done with this one. Aldis kind of falls under the same bracket as Adam Pearce. There'll be appearance points all over the place with the draft. It's a for round five. It's pretty. You'll be pretty happy with that one. He's really swing pick probably as Willow Nightingale because she has that match at Dynasty coming up for the title. And there's a rumour that Julia Hart's got an injury. And with the stuff, the feud potentially with Willow Nightingale and Sasha Banks or Mercedes Moné, that's one that could be some decent surprise title points. So I think Willow Nightingale for a second female pick could be the steal of this season.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I do. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know much of what's happening over in AEW, but as a potential that Willow Nightingale would be a placeholder until Mercedes Moné has her debut in like May or something like that. I think it's near the end of May. I'm not sure it's an interesting one, but I do think for the short term gain that Willow Nightingale probably has to get, I think it's a great pick.
Yeah, Mercedes Moné has already said that she's going to challenge the winner of that TBS title match. And with the history she's got with Willow, they can run into the stuff with UJapan because Willow was the one technically beat Mercedes Moné in that match. She got injured, so there is stuff there for that feud. It's more logical a feud than Moné and Hart. So I think she will be a short term title holder. It's just how long Scott can get out of her with that title is going to be the question because. If you're feuding with Mercedes Moné, you're going to be on TV every week. So that's kind of the advantage of being the one with her. And she's going to be the one that's going to be the more of the workhorse of that feud. She'll be the one wrestling around about it. She'll have other matches. So I think that's a good one in that one. And yeah, this is another one that I really like as a team. I think it's going to... Roxanne's going to be great whenever she's going to be the exact same as Ilya Dragunov from the female side. So I think this is one. If this team is not in the top three this season, I'll be really surprised as well. I think this has got... Scott's became, in the last few seasons, such a consistently good drafter. He's essentially the guy you have to try it out. Well, I would hate to draft around Scott, because it'd be absolutely infuriating.
He's got one of the biggest brains in the draft. He knows the game well. He knows every product well. He's one of the toughest competitors, I think. He's always been one of the toughest competitors. Give Scott McLeod his flowers.
Yes, absolutely. I think he was slightly aided this season, though. The two men who drafted round them, two of the men that have came up from the Listeners League and became established over a few seasons, Tom Brock and Matt Smith, who we'll talk about together. We've got Tom's team, if you smell what Tom Brock is cooking, Jey Uso, Io Sky, Kazuchika Okada, LA Knight, Mariah May, and Legado del Fantasma for him. And we have Matt Smith with Vibes Over Points with his team of Gunter, Captain Jade Cargill, Pretty Deadly, Logan Paul, Julia. And are we giving it as Uncle Howdy for his last pick? Are we just going to call it that? Pretty much whoever Bo Dallas plays. Not who he announced on the stream.
Yeah, I think that's fair because obviously when Bray Wyatt adopted the Fiend character, he was Bray Wyatt and then he became the Fiend and the points still carried over the same. So I think giving him the benefit of the doubt of maybe Uncle Howdy, and then if he does adopt the Fiend character at any point, then he still gets the points, regardless. Yeah. I think that's been the precedent.
Yeah, it was essentially a case of no one knew what the heck who he's going to play. We just know he's coming back and this kind of in some sort of character with it. So we are going to give it if whoever Bo Dallas portrays, if it is going to be Uncle Howdy, if it's going to be something of the kind of Bray Wyatt, we don't really know. So that's why we're a bit up in the air. Matt, we'll keep with Matt quickly before we bring back to Tom. We expected a lot of shock and surprise from Matt given his history. I don't think he really did too much of that until round six. I think other than that, he's went with a team who's going to do quite well.
Yeah, I like his team. Obviously, Gunther's first round pick, which is an interesting one. Yeah, I mean, he's probably going to be off TV for a good wee while and then automatically probably get involved in the World Heavyweight Championship title scene. Jay Cargill round two is amazing, especially after last night when it looks like her and Bianca's going to go for the women's tag titles. pretty deadly if you're a round three tag team pick. I think it's amazing. Logan Paul, round four, about time. Somebody got a draft for Logan Paul as a singles pick in this draft. And I think Logan Paul, especially committing himself to WWE going forward, is going to be more of a full-time performer. I think that's great. And then also the two wild cards for me, I'd say, is Julia and Uncle Howdy. Julia obviously being revealed at NXT Stand Deliver. She could be a great contender for the NXT North America Women's Championship or even the NXT Women's Championship, depending on what way they want to go. And also the teases for Bo Dallas coming back, Uncle Howdy. When that does happen, you expect when he arrives that he's going to have a good few segments each show, potentially interfering in other folks' promos. It's like a wee flash of a picture there that could be original. That'll be a point. So I think and this long season, there's definitely upside to the kind of two picks in the bottom.
Yeah, I think the issue, though, the big thing with the two ones at the bottom is the when aspect of it, when we're going to see much of them. In terms of Julia's got a commitment still to finish off in Japan, so it's when she'll actually officially debut on the brand as an active competitor. That could be next week, that could be, you know, in 3 months' time. We don't particularly know, so that's the big issue with that one. Obviously, Matt, there is the transfer window that could get out of it, but it's how much you're behind at that particular point. Gunther's the other one. We don't know if he's actually going to take an extended break. We could probably theorise that his goal eventually is going to be a world title feud. But the thing is there is Germany in the horizon in September. Do they kind of give him a wee time off until kind of SummerSlam? Because he's been active all the time. So that's the big thing with that one. And for round one, if your round one's inactive all the time, then that's a bit of an issue. But Cargo, the last week showed that Cargo's going to be on TV regularly all the time. So I think Jade Cargo's a solid pick. And that could be good for him. If we look at Tom, I think I need to shout about it. I think Mariah May in round five is a great shout. I think she's never off a TV. Never off a TV. And she's got this love triangle thing going on in AEW. I don't really know if it's going to be a more prominent thing, but I was eyeing her up for my last female pick and I was raging with something that got her head so early on.
Mariah May is a great pick winner at that bottom one there. Being involved in the title scene picture on the three shows near enough every week, essentially. I think Mariah May is such a strong pick. I reckon could potentially be his strongest pick of his team. I think there's too many what ifs in Tom's team with like Jay. So he's got the championship match next week. What happens after that? Obviously, maybe we do know a bit more now after Jimmy getting kind of kicked out the bloodline. Io Sky just lost the belt. What's next for her? Okada obviously got the AEW Continental Championship now. I think that will be a good pick. It'll be a strong pick, but I just don't know if it'll reap the points or maybe Tom thinks he'll get. LA Knight, I think it will come good near the end. Not sure how good it will be at the start. And Legado del Fantasma, she's a team that screams, you need to take your tag team because you've got no one else to take.
Yeah, I didn't like that pick. I didn't think I wasn't confident with that pick at all. I think it was the last tag team picked overall. It was the last tag team was picked. So, yeah, I think it was a panic tag team pick. I'm not going to lie. LA Knight's one. I think he loses next week to AJ. AJ will get the win back and AJ will get the feud with Cody. I think that makes more sense currently. So, again, we question LA Knight's direction. As you mentioned, I think his long-term potential this season is the US title with Logan Paul. But will Tom have faith to keep him, depending on what goes on to that point? We'll have to wait and see. Jey Uso is going to have a world title loss, I think, as well. So it's just where that goes with that one. And Io Sky, we don't know where she's going. So as much as we like aspects of Tom's pick, I would probably go with you when I think there's a lot not to like. I don't really see this as a title team either. I think this is one that's going to fall middle of the ground and he would need a transfer window to kind of help him up with it.
I agree.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, it could be a season of disappointment for Tom. We have our two Listeners League competitors now that we're going to talk about, Colin Blackburn and Martin Best. Colin, he's got Drew McIntyre as his captain, picking from second. Solo Sikoa, Liv Morgan, Karrion Kross, the UD, and Julia Hart. Martin Best with Becky Lynch, captains of the Young Bucks, Pete Dunne, Chris Statlander, Sky Blue, and Santos Escobar. Jack Collins' team looks a lot better now than it did on Thursday.
Well, see, this is what I don't get. I really praised the Solicitor Corps pick. I thought it was good, but you and Ryan didn't seem so sure on it. And I think after last night, it's proved dividends.
I didn't know it was going to go on with Solicitor Corps, but after last night, yeah, I'm on board with it. I flipped my switch on it.
Like, surely there's always got, like, Solicitor Corps was always going to be key in something, be it if Roman was going to be there and he was going to take out Roman by the orders of The Rock. Obviously now it looks like it's just taking over the bloodline with Tamatonga coming in as well. Something was always going to happen with Solicitor Corps for me, and this was the point that WrestleMania was going to kick it off after that. So I think Solicitor Corps is a great pick. Drew McIntyre, I think, is a good, great pick as well. Obviously, I mentioned it on the stream as well. Depends on the contract situation, but running your contract down seems to be the new norm in WWE and signing pretty late on. So being advertised in the Clash of the Castle poster, I think, gives good faith. I know there's rumours as well that because he was injured, his contract got extended to that's potentially to about June.
Yeah.
June time. So it could be fine there. Does he win the title back at Clash at the Castle? Does he go into a programme with CM Punk if CM Punk returns? We'll wait and see. Liv Morgan, a good pick in round three there. I really like this pick, especially just kind of attacking Rhea Ripley. She's instantly set herself into the title picture. Karrion Kross, obviously coming off the loss at WrestleMania, but the final testament invaded NXT. I think I'll bring a good lease of life into that faction. I think running rampant in NXT would be a great thing. The New Day, safe tag team, no problems with that. I think this is one of the tag teams in a long season that anyone you get, especially like an established tag team like the New Day, I think it's fine. And also we've spoken with Julia Hart before, but the injury, she might drop the title. We'll need to see how that one plays out.
Round six, though, you take a punt on a TV on a champion. If a champion's on the board, round six, there's no harm in taking the punt, especially when you're the second last. It's your second last pick of the full draft. I see no harm in the punt at that particular point, especially because most of the established ones were already off the board. My issue with Solo Sokoa was they've not really had a win. He's not really won since like he beat Cena. So I wasn't sure what he was going to do, but yeah, I was willing to switch on it based on, because we hadn't seen SmackDown yet, but I think he's going to be portrayed so dominantly now on SmackDown in the next month. So they're going to get him some wins over some folk. There's a lot of guys they could throw him to, I think. Yeah, I think I'd be happy with that one. Karrion Kross, if we'd picked before NXT, I wouldn't have been confident in the Karrion Kross pick, but now that they've invaded NXT, I think he could get a few wins under his belt. I think he just needs a few wins under his belt. You know, I think he could do not too bad. So Morgan probably might not won't beat Ripley, but it's the question how long the feud goes with Ripley at that particular point. I also think if she does lose to Ripley, Becky Lynch comes back. Becky Lynch is an ideal feud for her. So I think Morgan's a decent pick as well, especially for TV stuff. She'll get some wins on TV as well, which will help. I think Colin should be pretty happy with what he's got here.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think it's a Given how it's went in his first time drafting, I'm going to be happy with his team.
Yeah. I'm not sure about Martin, though. I think Martin, I mean, we've got to give these listening guys some credit. They come up and it's sometimes a tough one to take to do how they draft for this one. And Martin, I think he's kind of, I don't like to say it, but I think this is the one that could be bottom two this season. I don't think there's a lot. Other than the Bucks currently, I don't see a lot in the going in this team.
Nah, it's a interesting one. Obviously, Becky Lynch, I think, will still be involved in this title scene with Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan in some way. Young Bucks, I think, one of the standout picks, potentially the full draft, especially with stuff we've seen recently on AEW and going up against FTR for the tag titles. After that, it's a bit... Obviously, Pete Dunne, part of the New Catch Republic. We need to wait and see what happens with A2. I don't know how frequent he'll be getting points for him. And then Chris Statlander and Sky Blue. Not really sure on A2 either. Same with Santos Escobar. It just screams a listener's league drafting in the main league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Statlander, the only thing Statlander's really doing is she's kind of getting in the middle of this whole... internal feud between the best friends, But so, yeah, she might get appearances then and there, but nothing really substantial. Sky Blue, I don't think she's on TV. Done not a lot. She's kind of with Julia Hart still, but I don't really think she's been a big part on TV either recently. Santos Escobar is directionless now after Mania. And Becky, obviously, we do think Becky will do stuff and she will do well eventually, but she's, we don't know when she's going to be back. So that's kind of, I think there was the Alexa Swerve and that's still on the board before her. I don't think it was the best pick in round one at this particular point, so I think he's going to be, the Bucks are going to lead him to it, but yeah, Pete Dunne round three is, yeah, no. I like the UCatch Republic, I think they're a good team, but yeah, this is what you said, a Listeners League team, if you could ever define one. If you want to compete in an upcoming Listeners League, please give us a message and we'll give you the details on how you could compete in the Listeners League and get the chance to compete in the main league and get slated every season on this preview show. So yeah, give us a message on all forms of social media. Get the plug in there while I can. We'll go on to Stacey's team now, Jack. One that we've been shivering with a lot of praise since the draft night. She's gone with Bayley as the captain. Awesome Truth is a at second round, Bianca Belair, Carmelo Hayes, Orange Cassidy, and Rey Mysterio. This is a consistent, solid, week-to-week team, if you've ever seen one.
Yeah, I like this team. I like this team a lot. Bayley, round one pick, all that absolutely makes sense. Got a title match next week, captain say. She won't lose that. Huge. Awesome Truth is going to be such a big part of whatever show they end up on for the tag titles. I think that's an amazing pick as well. Bianca Belair looks like she's teaming up with Jade Cargill to go for women's tag titles. Amazing pick. Carmelo Hayes might lose the steel cage match next week, but will be called up to the main roster. Yeah. I think when he gets called up to the main roster, will do amazing. Orange Cassidy's a pick that everyone says that shouldn't be left out the draft. Hopefully it works out this time for Stacey as well. I do think momentum's kind of slowed for a bit, but as we spoke about, the best friends important. That's a huge part of our story for Orange Cassidy. So we'll see how that goes. And Rey Mysterio, leader of the LWO, is going to be part of SmackDown regardless of whatever happens, even if he's not wrestling. I think that's a point or two a show. So I think Stacey has, for me, the strongest team on the board.
Yeah, I was close to picking Awesome Truth. And in my head, I thought, they might take the belts off them really early. I wasn't confident they were going to get a run with it. But I think it's worth the go with it because they'll either get taken off at the first attempt or they'll run with it for a while. So I think it's worth the point on it. Bianca, we kind of mentioned on draft night, she drifted down to round three because she's not had as much direction the last few months, but now she does following draft night. I'd be really shocked if her and Jade don't win those tag titles, so I think that's an awesome one to go for. Carmelo will get involved in something. It's just we don't know what, so I can't see him being directionless, if you get me. So to get him in round four is, you know, a really solid get. I just think there's so much consistency with it, you know, and as you mentioned, Bayley getting a TV title defence in the first week of the season. You know, that's sold. I think there's not much we can really say other than it's just one that's going to pick up points. The problem with a lot of drafters is they'll get 1 week it's really high and then they'll get 1 week where the points slump. And then that's kind of the issue. It's just, there's no sort of consistency. I think this has got consistency written all over it.
Yeah, I think it's consistency is the absolute word to describe it. There's going to be points every week. There's going to be very good points every week. Stacey's done very well.
Yeah, definitely one of the favourites here. I think it's a big credit to Stacey for that one. The Bard and Nikki Bellas. We are interested to see how that particular performs. Stacey's one of the drafters that so many people want to see do well, and I think this could be one of the seasons that this happens for us, so we need to stay tuned to that one. Probably another person that kind of falls under that bracket, Gary Kernahan, never had a win by himself, had to rely on David Hockney for that particular win. He won't like me saying that, but I don't care. Drafting from first, he's got Cody Rhodes as his captain, Randy Orton, Mercedes Moné, the Street Profits, Deanna Purrazzo, and Sheamus. A lot more AEW for Gary as the seasons have went on. I think it's half and half for him. I think he's got three at the top who are going to be consistent, and then the other three at the bottom, a bit maybe at the moment.
Yeah, Cody Rhodes is always going to be the very first one to get picked.
So yeah, he was always going to be the first one off the board.
Yeah, I don't. If I was first, I potentially would have taken Rhea Ripley or Bayley over Cody. Purely because I'll probably eat my words come the end of the season. But we're seeing it next week. Bailey's got a title defence. Cody doesn't. I think there's more scope for Bailey wrestling on normal TV now than there is Cody. Whereas like Cody's not going to have his first defence until Backlash.
Hmm.
But I still think regardless, Cody was too hot a property to take off to leave at round one anyway. So Gary's made a great pick. Randy Orton in round two is a great pick. I think potentially after this feud with AJ Styles, I think Randy Orton could be the next one to get involved.
Yeah.
Well, I think AJ's going to win against LA Knight, as we spoke about. Mercedes Moné, when she does wrestle, I think she's going to win the TBS title, you know, straight away. So when that does happen, it'll be good points for Gary. The bottom half, yeah, I'm not sure about, as you said.
Yeah, because I think the Street Profits, there's nothing really firmed in for them currently after the feud with the Final Testament. I think they'd be a good opponent for A-Town Down Under. We just don't know if that's going to happen yet, so we'll wait and see that. With Deanna Purrazzo, yeah, since she is the epitome currently of a big money sign. Tony Khan brings in, gets a feud right away, and they have nothing for her. So I'm not as confident with that one. And obviously Sheamus, he is coming back, but it's the fact he's not currently back yet, so it's the unknown factor of it. The thing you would give to Sheamus as final pick of the full draft, it's worth a swing. It's definitely worth it. You can give a bit of leeway usually, most times, maybe 9 times out of 10, to the final pick of the draft. Because it's always, you get the full plate to play for, it's worth a swing. We talked about you and David doing it last season with Sting and Darby Allin. You know, what was the harm in going for it? And it paid off for you in the short term. So I think Sheamus, you know, he could come back. I mean, he could be the feud for Cody as well going forward as well. He could be some factor in that somehow. He could be a placeholder with Logan Paul until LA Knight. It's just that we don't know, but at round one, at that one we don't get. I just think Deanna Purrazzo is the one downside of his team. I just can't look, I find it hard to look past. I think there was a lot better options still on the play. Mariah May gets picked like a few rounds later. I think she's a much better shout. Thunder Rosa was still there. I think she's a much better shout than Deanna Purrazzo. So I think, I don't know, maybe it's just a case of, it's not the product Gary knows about, so he's kind of went for the name based on what he's heard. But I think he's maybe went for the wrong one.
Yeah, I think that's the way I would take it as well. It's a new name that's just been signed. Obviously, it has been in that big feud, but maybe not knowing the product, I thought it was worth a gamble to see. But yeah, when the transfer window comes around, I think she could be one of the first ones to go out of the team.
Oh yeah, I don't think she makes it past the transfer window. I think she will get absolutely taken out for it at that particular point. Who she gets replaced with is an unknown, but I do think Gary could probably still do well with that one. So I just think that's the one downside of it. I think he's a top half team. I don't know if it's enough to get him that first singles win. But again, we could be wrong and wait to see. We'll round off this show by talking about all of the SDL teams in the one go. Myself, Jack and Ryan, to go through it all. So Ryan's not here, so we'll do his one first. He's went with Rhea Ripley, Finn Balor, Oba Ferry, the acclaimed CM Punk, and Lola Vice. Jack, I think this is similar to Gary. Top half's pretty good, bottom half is a bit unknown.
Top half's unreal for me. Rhea Ripley's such a great, strong pick. Finn Balor, part of the Judgment Day, obviously, he's in a similar contract situation to Drew McIntyre, so we need to wait and see. But regardless, in the meantime, being part of Judgment Day could be such a big focal point. Oba Ferry, round three, is an unreal pick. He's not losing that title anytime soon, and his stock is so high in NXT. Really like it. The acclaimed. We were unsure what was happening. Obviously, still the 6-man tag titles. Can't tell you when the last defense was, but it looks like potentially there's going to be a unification match between them and the Bang Bang Gang. So Ryan will be hoping that will go in his favor. The bottom two, I'm not really sure on at all. CM Punk, obviously, it was round about there for WrestleMania and Raw. We don't know when he's coming back, when he's clear to come back anyway. Obviously, he doesn't have his brace anymore, so it could be sooner rather than later. But by the time that transfer window comes around, if he's not got any points and there's no inkling of when CM Punk comes back, could he be out of Ryan's team?
They have confirmed that he will be on both nights of the draft. So he has got two at least.
Oh, right, okay.
So it's just what else happens around it, you know.
Aye, absolutely. Lola Vice is a pick. I'm not sure. Potentially could be part of this NXT North American Women's Championship tournament. I don't know. But round six, I guess, you know, take the punt, it's fine.
I think with the Acclaimed, they are the example of they've been picked purely a lot by their history in this draft, because their momentum is so slowed down, it's unparticularly real. I don't really see anything really for them. Other than that feud with the Bang Bang Gang, it's just, as I mentioned on draft night, it seems to be the equivalent of the you swerving Keith Lee. You know, it's the talked about it. Is it going to happen? When's it going to happen? Who knows? And who particularly cares? You know, so it's just I don't really see that particular one for that. But yeah, it's good. I would put Ryan in the same bracket as Gary. There's some strong point. I think Obafemi is a fantastic pick. Round three for Obafemi is fantastic as well. You know, given his momentum currently, to get him in that late on is unbelievable. Mine and your teams now, Jack. I described yours a few times as that team and football manager who have signed all the wonder kids, and you really like them and you really appreciate that they could do something good. Pretty much because you got Bron Breakker and A-Town down under round one and two. Naomi in round three, and then Maxime Dupri, Seth Rollins, and Andrade. I don't like to sound like a broken record. I would put you kind of similar bracket to what I've described the previous two teams as. I don't know what you think of your own team.
What you see is probably every single person in this draft. I had no clue how I was going to do this kind of strategy. I don't know. All my picks were picked on the fly, or at least a couple of picks before like the other person. Which is why I thought very happy with Bron Breakker round one. I think the reaction you and Ryan gave, I think that's a bit unjust. I think Bron Breakker's going to prove the two of you very wrong.
I like the pick. I just wouldn't have done it round one. That's all I'd say.
A-Town down under, I want to take a tag team early because I knew that if I didn't get a tag team in round two, I don't think there'd be many left to get in round three, especially with the stake draft being at the bottom end, which is how we kind of see when Naomi and Maxine Dupree drafted in at that point, because I just wanted to take names. And I think Naomi's got the title match next week. She'll lose, but I think she's one of the headline names on SmackDown as a women's competitor, so I'm quite happy with that. And Maxine Dupree's obviously involved with this Candice LeRae stuff, and it seems to be a frequent flyer on Raw with either the Alpha Academy or this tag team, Ivan Nile. We're quite happy. Seth Rollins and Andrade, I'm around five and round six. Seth Rollins is my gamble pick. He's only met me having about 3 weeks off, 3-4 weeks. So potentially he'll come back after the draft, in which I think he could get good points coming in. I think Seth Rollins is a name that's worth the gamble such late on. I think it'd be criminal if he was left off the board. So I'm happy with that. Andrade, I was between Andrade and Bobby Lashley. Andrade, I think, round six or seven, they've got a match against Dominic Mysterio next week. Part of LWO, I think, will be a part of some programming going forward. Obviously, just coming back to WWE, I'm happy with my pick. I don't think it's the best thing I've ever drafted, but I don't think I'm going to be down near that kind of bottom half. I think I'll be up in that top half, potentially pushing near a podium position, but I don't know if I've got the legs to win it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting where it goes. I think a lot of it will hinge on when Seth comes back. You know, if Seth comes back, he's going to be primed for a good feud. I thought they would have something lined up with him and Roman, potentially on SummerSlam time, up until last night. I don't think that, I'm not sure about that. I think maybe the SummerSlam feud now is potentially, if Roman's back by then, is Roman and the Usos versus Solo and Co. So I'm not as sure about on Seth's direction, but I think if he does get a direction early on, I think that's a one that's absolutely solid. So yeah, definitely a top half one and shout on that one. I'll let you give your play on my team then as well, Jack. I've got Damian Priest as captain, FTR, Tiffany Stratton, Bronson Reed, Chad Gable, and Candice LeRae. What's your thoughts on that?
I like the team. Damian Priest, I think you want to get a title win right off the bat. Your captain's going to be huge. FTR, you've kind of shared some scepticism on that. You think they'll probably be in the losing end of the tag title match. I do as well. Tiffany is probably one of your best picks in your team, I think. Round three, unreal potential for a Money in the Bank contender. I like Bronson Reed as well. Chad Gable's an interesting one because he's going up against Sami Zayn for the title on Monday. I don't think he's winning. I think the heel turn's coming. But what happens after that, I'm not sure. But I think with the momentum and how much the fans want Chad Gable to do well, I do think there's potential points there. And Candice LeRae, I think, is also just a pick that we need to take in the last round. You know she's in some sort of programme, so let's take her and see what happens. I think you've got a good top half. Same as me, top half, potential to push for a podium team.
Yeah, I think last round, Candice LeRae, she's a lower down female wrestler who's on TV like every week right now. So I think you can't really knock that at that particular point in the draft. I would have Mariah May was my top choice if I could have got her, but she'd went just before it, so I couldn't really pick that one. Chad Gable was between him and JD McDonough. I'm hoping I don't regret that. I kind of JD's obviously on TV all the time, so I'm not sure. Nobody picked JD McDonough as well, which was a surprise. But I think I had a feeling that this Chad, the Gable Zayn stuff, would go on a bit longer, so that's why I went with that one. Everything else I thought of is what you kind of land on. Tiffany Stratton was one I was always keen to get. And the fact that she was still sitting there around three when it got back to me, I was absolutely chuffed to bits. My only issue I've got with Bronson Reed is Bronson Reed is so dominant usually when he's on TV, but they tend to keep him off of TV a couple of weeks at a time. If they can keep him a run, I think he'd be good, but it's whether they keep him a run.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I'd say it. And then with FTR, I wanted to pick the Bucks. The Bucks went just before me. David Camozzo said he would have picked the Bucks in that pot, so I was never going to get the Bucks, clearly. So at that point, I was like, I was between Awesome Truth and FTR, and I was like, I think I need to go that other side of the pendulum, just in case. Because there is always an outside chance, but I do think they are going to lean towards the Bucks, especially this whole Jack Perry stuff as well. I think Jack Perry comes back and he'll screw FTR. And that's where they'll go with that one. FTR could still be a fruitful pick. And if worse comes to it, I could take them out in the transfer window. Who I get, I don't know. Tag teams. After the tag teams were going on, I was like, who's left? You know, a lot of the good ones went really on, which is a good thing, which is why I think it was smart of you to go with A-Town down very early in round two. I thought A-Town down was a fantastic pick. And I think you should be quite happy with that one. So that's all the teams we've went through. We've went through all the picks and went through everybody's, you know, how we think everybody's going to do. We will now do what we usually do in this particular show. Myself and Jack will give our predictions of who's going to take the wooden spoon. We'll give our prediction who we think is going to be the dark horse of the draft. And of course, who we think is going to actually win the whole thing. So Jack, who you got for that?
Wooden spoon for me goes to Martin Best. The underdog, the dark horse, goes to Grant McRobbie.
Interesting.
And my winner of the draft goes to Stacey Smith.
Interesting. I'm going to try and go different ones from you because I don't want to just agree with you. Which
you
is hard.
You agree with me if you don't, you're going to go different.
I'm not sure about the dark horse one. I think I'd go different with the dark horse one, but I don't want to just go. I'm trying to find, it's hard not to argue with Martin Smith as a wooden spoon. But other choice potentially for the wooden spoon would be Gary Morris, I think.
Yeah, I was between they two for sure.
I feel harsh giving it to these two ones because we like to get you listeners on the show. So they've been in here one time and they're getting told, yeah, you're not done very well. You will learn. Jack famously drafted Ricochet first in his first draft. And look where he's went now. Mm-hmm. So take that from there. Dark horse, I think, could be... I'm going to go bold. I think Colin Blackburn could be a dark horse here.
Okay.
I think he could surprise many people, including himself. You know, I think he could do quite well here. And my winner... To not go with Stacey, I think it would be Scott. I'm going to say Scott. I think Stacey Scott would be top two for the season. I think it just swings on various things on it, as you mentioned. If Axiom and Fraser get called up and lose those tag titles, throws everything completely out of the water. If Willow Nightingale's match with Mercedes Moraes the week after Dynasty, it throws that out of the water as well. You never know. But yeah, it's a long season. There's a lot of potential to it. And Yeah, I think it's as ever, we're going to see plenty of twists and turns over the season. And of course, there is that transfer window that could make things a little bit different. But we'll see how things go. We'll have various names, you know, popping in and out of that particular once we get to the transfer window, and we'll see who eventually will come out on top and we get to SummerSlam at the start of August. Of course, if you're listening to this show and you would like to take part in the Listeners League to find out how you could draft and get involved, the Listeners League chat is an interesting place to be. A lot of fun discussion in there and a lot of competitiveness in that one. So just give us a message if you'd like to compete in this season's Listeners League. The deadline to get teams in for the Listeners League is when Raw kicks off on Monday. So you please get in touch with us before then if you want to compete and find out about that. And of course, if it's your first time listening in general, hit that subscribe button to get all our great content, and then follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Suplex Retweet. Of course, you'll hear every Saturday, us at Saturday Draft Live, going through all the latest goings on and the points and see who's doing well and who's not. Jack, thank you for joining me on this fine Saturday morning.
Thank you.
Yep. I've been Steve Wilson, and we'll see you next time. Have a good one.
Sports Social Podcast Network.